pretty good, Gary. You should write a book, if you ever get around to it. Since we're on the subject of your resurrection, let me briefly recite a couple of things the Course says about it. In fact, I'll give you a very short rundown of the Course's description of the disappearance of the universe, although, as you said, these things will really happen all at once. I'll give you a few passages from the Manual for Teachers on the resurrection. Very simply, the resurrection is the overcoming or surmounting of death. It is a reawakening or a rebirth, a change of mind about the meaning of the world. It goes on to say, the resurrection is the denial of death, being the assertion of life. This is all the thinking of the world reversed entirely. When you have completely awakened from the dream of death and attained your resurrection, Christ's face is seen in every living thing, and nothing is held in darkness apart from the light of forgiveness. Once you have seen the face of Christ, here the curriculum ends. From here on, no directions are needed. Vision is wholly corrected and all mistakes undone. Attack is meaningless and peace has come. The goal of the curriculum has been achieved. Thoughts turn to heaven and away from hell. All longings are satisfied, for what remains unanswered or incomplete? The time will come when each seemingly separated mind has attained its enlightenment or resurrection, when everyone, not every body, mind you, but every mind that has dreamed thousands of lifetimes has reached this state of awakening from the dream. That is the second coming of Christ, as the Course teaches. The second coming is the one event in time which time itself cannot affect. For everyone who ever came to die, or yet will come, or who is present now, is equally released from what he made. In this equality is Christ restored as one identity, in which the sons of God acknowledge that they all are one. And God the Father smiles upon his Son, his one creation, and his only joy.
That's beautiful. We left as one, and we'll return to heaven as one.
Yes. Of course, you never really left, because you can't help but be safe in God no matter what you're dreaming. When the entire sonship is ready, then God will give his last judgment. As Jay informs you, this is God's final judgment. You are still my holy son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved, as limitless as your creator, and completely changeless, and forever pure. Therefore, awaken and return to me. I am your father, and you are my son.
Cool. You know, if I ever have a choice between being judged by God or being judged by people, I'll take my chances with God any day.
You do have a choice, and the decision you described is a wise one. Extend the same forgiveness to your brothers and sisters that God extends to you. That's how you make it yours. When everyone has completed their forgiveness lessons, God himself will take the last step and welcome the collective prodigal son home into the oneness that you have never truly left. When you perceive yourself without deceit, you will accept the real world in place of the false one you have made. And then your Father will lean down to you and take the last step for you by raising you unto himself.
That'll be awesome. What about the ones who get enlightened sooner? Do they have to hang around for millions of years waiting for the others?
No. Once you attain your enlightenment and lay your body aside, then you're awake and outside the dream, which means that you're actually outside time and space. While it may appear to others that many, many years are passing, for you, the end of time has already occurred. And the waiting for when everybody else is enlightened is only an instant. Of course, you can choose to help Jay help the others like we have, and I assure you it's not a burden.
The experience of being enlightened and being outside of time and space must be practically the same as heaven anyway.
Would you like to comment on that, Persa?
Certainly, but why not let the Course tell Gary what heaven is? You want to remember that heaven is real oneness, unlike the idea of being one with the universe or even one with the mind that is outside of time and space that made the universe. Those ideas are still seemingly outside of God. With true oneness, there is only God, and there can never be anything else. That's why God himself takes the last step. And it is also why no compromise on this idea is possible. The Course's idea of God is as lofty as it possibly can be, because it is the truth. Oneness cannot be perfect if there is anything else to be aware of. Heaven is not a place, nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness and nothing else within.
If there is nothing else, then there are no obstacles and no friction to impede your extension?
I knew you were deep. Quite correct. In heaven, there are no obstacles and it's joyous. Where on earth, what is referred to as life, is little more than a constant obstacle course. Consider these ideas from the section in the course called The Gifts of Fatherhood. There are no beginnings and no endings in God, whose universe is himself. The universe of love does not stop because you do not see it, nor have your closed eyes lost the ability to see. God has given you a place in his mind that is yours forever. Yet you can keep it only by giving it as it was given to you.
I think I'm getting the distinctions.
Yes, you are. And it will help you hasten your experience of the awareness of love's presence.
We told you some of our remaining visits would be quite brief. Today we've been discussing something that can't really be put into words, so we merely did the best we could. The course is directed toward the experience of true oneness that we have described, which can be summed up in just two words. Two words that do indeed express the absolute truth. Keep your mind on the goal as you forgive the world, and always remember what the Course is leading you to. God is, and in him all created things must be eternal. Do you not see that otherwise he has an opposite, and fear would be as real as love?
You know the Course is telling you the truth, Gary. You've been around the block a couple of times. All that's left is for you to keep doing what you're doing, and the goal will ultimately become your reality. We'll be back in December. In the meantime, forgive and remember what you really are. Oneness is simply the idea God is, and in his being, he encompasses all things. No mind holds anything but him.
Then Artin and Persa disappeared, and I forgave them. Then one night, a couple of weeks before Artin and Persa's next visit, something happened that was quite unlike anything else I had experienced. I was sitting alone reading a magazine in a chair when I was suddenly overcome by an overwhelming sense of awareness. The universe momentarily disappeared, and I just sat there alone in a stupor of awe. I felt totally safe and completely taken care of, within the knowledge of a presence that, until that moment, would have been unimaginable.
Revelation unites you directly with God.
Although the experience of revelation can never be translated into words, there is one quality of it that is so unique it clings to the memory. It happens in an instant where one is given an experience of being outside time and space. And even beyond that, you become one with something so big it's beyond size. The clearest quality of it that's completely unlike anything of this universe is that it is constant. There is no change or interruption in its limitless power. It doesn't shift or waver. It gives you a taste of something that can be relied upon, something real, the joy of which is beyond belief. I knew then that I had been communicated to by God.
Revelation is not reciprocal. It proceeds from God to you, but not from you to God.
I didn't do anything else that night. I just continued to sit there in my state of awe and gratitude.
Awe should be reserved for revelation, to which it is perfectly and correctly applicable.
There was nothing for me to say, or any need to.
Revelation is literally unspeakable, because it is an experience of unspeakable love.
I knew I would never be the same. As time went on, I'd remembered that this experience had happened because I was ready for it through my practice of forgiveness, making me even more excited about continuing on my chosen path. No one who has experienced the revelation of this kind of permanence and unshakable being can ever fully believe in the ego again. I was preparing to return to God.
Healing is of God in the end. The means are being carefully explained to you. Revelation may occasionally reveal the end to you, but to reach it, the means are needed.
After this complete but temporary suspension of doubt and fear, I knew I wouldn't mind always being that way. Although I felt like I had very little fear most of the time, my shyness and discomfort would still show up in my interactions with strangers or new acquaintances.